Translation Impurpled by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Therefore, O Chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Purport. The personality of Kali addressed Maharaj Parikshit as the chief amongst the protectors of religiosity because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. And we can just imagine what sort of protection is given by the personality of Godhead to the person who surrenders unto him, not as an enemy, but as a devoted servitor. The Lord protects the surrendered soul from all sins and all resultant reactions of sinful acts. And then there's quotation from Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Can anyone tell me which verse is that? Sarva parityajam amekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masuchaha. Perfect. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Anuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I would like to request the permission of all the Vaishnavas present here, so I can narrate or share some of the reflections on this pastime. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kaupa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavbhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki. Just yesterday, before I take rest in the evening, I was clearing up the library room in our Brahmachari ashram, and there was a book. Is Sam here? He's not here. So he's making transfer. And there was a book by Bhaktivedanta Maharaj called Surrender. And I just randomly opened the book, and there was all about there about surrender, all about protection. What does it mean to actually develop true Vaishnava qualities? And when we take on to this process of Krishna consciousness, actually the goal of the process obviously is to go back to Godhead, but simultaneously is to actually change character. All of this, what we do, either we chant or we read or we associate or we do devotional service or whatever we do, we actually try to develop a character which is suitable for us to participate in the Krishna pastimes. To actually go back to Godhead. To go back to Godhead, it's not only kind of a transmigration of, you know, being in one place and migrate to another place. It actually means change of a character. It means actually becoming spiritual. So, and when I was reading those meditations of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, I was just thinking, the level of compassion, the level of surrender, the level of tranquility and the level of just purity true Vaishnava has is just really something difficult to grasp, at least for me. So when I was reading those pages, I was thinking, my goodness, when the time will come when actually I can develop these sort of qualities, this sort of character of a true Vaishnava. We may approach ourselves as Vaishnavas, we try to deal as Vaishnavas, but actually it's not a cheap thing. Even it is said that Krishna takes food from the mouth of the Brahmanas. And then Prabhupada establishes that Vaishnavas are even higher than the Brahmanas. If you are a Vaishnava, naturally you are a Brahmana. So actually as Vaishnavas, you have those interactions with Krishna. So it's just a small reflection that to be a devotee, to be a Vaishnava, is something really extraordinary. So in glorification of all of those Vaishnavas, just please allow me to speak something of relevance in this Srimad Bhagavatam class. So a very interesting thing, I try to kind of again find a few points in the Prabhupada's Purport and the verse itself. We're coming to a point where let's do kind of a quick synopsis. In the beginning of the chapter, we can see the activities of Kali personified, what he was actually doing, the mischievous activities he was performing as punishing the most sacred of animals in the Vedic society, bull and a cow. Obviously, we understand Dharma personified and Mother Bhumi personified. Then when King Parikshit was traveling around the planet, he came and he saw this scene. Automatically, straight away, the duty or the nature of a Kshatriya came out, and he was ready to punish the miscreant Kali. Now when Kali was dressed like a king, he was performing mischievous activities, not according to the duties of a king. But the true king, Parikshit, he was ready to chastise him and kill him. And the moment he started dragging and pulling his sword and started threatening Kali that, yeah, I will chop off your head, you're done here. All these activities are not going to be done in my kingdom. We can see that narration of Sutta Goswami, he's saying, in this point, at this moment, Kali surrendered. So one of the points I would like to speak about today is what it actually means to surrender. What is surrender? What are the factors of surrender? And how we are forced or pushed through different angles to surrender. So interesting thing about this verse is that Dharma Britam Shrestha. In the translation, Srila Prabhupada says that Dharma Britam Shrestha is, where are we? It's not this one. Dharma Britam Shrestha means the protector of religion, chief of all protectors of religion. So here, King Parikshit is glorified to follow his duty of a Kshatriya. You are the greatest of all protectors. You are the greatest of those which follow dharmic rules and regulations. And let's go again through the verse that Prabhupada is mentioning in the Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Sarva dharmam parityaja. What does this mean? Sarva means all, dharma means duties, and parityaja means abandon. So in one hand, you have glorification of Maharaj Parikshit. Look at you are the chief of those who protect dharma. You are the greatest of all protectors of dharma. You are the chieftain. You are the king. You are the dharma personified. You are the emperor of the planet, the protector of the planet. And then Krishna on the other side is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharmam parityaja. Abandon. Abandon all dharma. That's the goal. And surrender unto me. So it seems like there are two different statements or two different, it shares that in one hand, he's glorified to protect dharma, and in another hand, it is said, abandon dharma. So how can we actually see this? How can we understand this? There's one very interesting verse in Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkatha shravanam danva shrada yavana jayate. 11:29, translation, until one develops a detachment from fruitive activities, knowing them to be the source of all miseries, and as long as the taste This is the important one. As long as a taste for hearing and chanting my glories has not awakened, one must act according to the regulative principles prescribed by the Vedic literature. So, when Krishna says sarva dharma parityaja, means develop taste. Develop taste for hearing, chanting, associating, and developing, as Prabhupada saying, taste for understanding all these pastimes about me. Only then you are eligible to abandon dharma. So we should ask ourselves, right? Am I avaduta? Am I following in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda? Can I do whatever I want? Can I just roam around the planet and constantly sing the glories of the Lord without following any varna, any ashrama, any duties, any regulations, any prescribed activities? Can you do that? If the answer is yes, then all glories to you. If the answer is no, then the rules and regulations of Vedic lifestyle is prescribed for you. So this is when it's meant, the two sides. Follow rules and regulations, follow the duty of your prescribed varna and ashrama versus abandon them. So when Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, he's pushing you in that Sanatan Dharma side. Sanatan Dharma means I am eternal servant of the Lord. As an eternal servant of the Lord, I have a relationship with the Lord. And this relationship means constantly glorifying the pastimes, attributes, form, activities of the Lord. If you're not in that stage, then the Vedas are there for you. So there is another point. The gradual process of detachment is very important for us. First, by process of karma yoga, one gets satisfied from the desires to enjoy. And when detachment arises within the heart, one becomes eligible for accepting the path of jnana. Jnana yoga. There is a process. In Uddhava Gita, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur is speaking that there is a process in this whole path of Vedic standards or Vedic lifestyle. First, karma yoga is implicating that if you have desires, if you have needs, if you have something which is within you, which still bound you to this material world, what you do is create so much activity, do your activity still according to the Vedic rules and regulations, but in the end, develop detachment from it. Literally develop a distaste. Right? You perform so many activities, karmic rules and regulations and karmic activities, that in the end, you get so much saturated by these activities that you say, no, that's it, I'm done. And again, that's it. The next step is jnana. Jnana means that you're starting philosophically understanding the Lord, his pastimes, activities, and all the rules and regulations prescribed in the Shastras, in the Vedas. Then Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur comments that the next step is the conclusion, the last word of the Vedanta is Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and I have relationship with him. So even if these Mayavadis come to the impersonal understanding that there is, you know, this Brahman is an all in all, their focus is fueled by being unsatisfied, in the sense that they've been so much, the mind or the body was so much agitated by the activities of the material world that they just try to focus on nothing. No pain, no pleasure, just pure Satchit Ananda. Just that's it, all I want. Not rupa, not the kind of a connection with the form, but just be out of the miseries. But for a bhakta means that everything is already there. The vairagya is there, the detachment is already there, that distaste in the material world is there. That knowledge, the end of Vedanta is already there. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But the bhakta has something more, something extra. And that is desire to have personal relationship with the Lord. So gradual process of detachment means don't overstep your level of detachment, which doesn't correlate with your level of attachment to Krishna and to hearing and chanting his glories and pastimes. Many times we've seen that if you step too much, if you do too much, you burn yourself, right? You burn yourself because your detachment doesn't correlate your attachment. It's very simple. In psychology, when someone has certain type of addiction, rather than focusing directly on the addiction, you focus on creating a new habit which replaces that addiction, right? Let's say someone has a smoking issues, someone like needs to smoke cigarettes. So what you do, slowly, just like Prabhupada when he said to Shyama Sundar Prabhu, when he was carving Lord Jagannath, he said Shyama Sundar had the need, desire to smoke, right? Prabhupada said every day one less. And then one point you stop it. So what it means that slowly reduce your karmic activities. And what happens is that the fruitive results of the activities also reduces. But at the same time, make sure you're attached to the process of bhakti yoga. If this doesn't happen, then it's very simple to burn yourself. The injunctions of the scriptures ultimately guide one to the platform of devotional service to the Lord, transcending the rules and regulations governing Varnashram Dharma. Therefore, it is said, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, which means, I am a pure devotee, and so there is, the Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur comments that, I am a pure devotee, and so there is no need for me to follow any of the rules and regulations of the scriptures. No Ekadashi. I don't need to follow Ekadashi. I don't need to put tilak on. This is very dangerous. I don't need to come for morning program. I don't need to chant my rounds. I don't need to do this. I don't need to associate. I don't need to serve. Very dangerous situation. So the moment your mind starts going this direction, take shelter of senior Vaishnavas. You should always take, but this situation specifically. So when the thought of elevation comes, take association of Vaishnavas, and I guarantee what they will do is they will minimize you very much and very quickly, very simply. They can very simply and very quickly minimize your so-called devotional progress. In Bhagavad Gita 17:28, it said, "Ashradhaya hutam datam tapas taptam kritam chayat askat iti uchyate partha nacha tat pratyaya nuha." Anything done as a sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and next. So any activity which is devoid of understanding the goal or the person to be satisfied is Krishna, is asat. It's non-permanent. It's a beginning and it has an end. So coming to the beginning, Dharma Britam Shrestha, the protector of religion, means that when Parikshit Maharaj was traveling around the globe, he was delivering the application according to time, place, and circumstances. So what a great man does, common people follow. So we can see throughout the whole Srimad Bhagavatam how great kings never been liberated, but nevertheless they've been doing the prescribed duties. King Janak, for instance, right? He was doing his prescribed duty. Dhruva Maharaj, he was doing his prescribed duty. Parikshit Maharaj, he was doing his prescribed duties. Yudhishthir Maharaj, all these great Raja Rishis, they've been doing their prescribed duties. Nevertheless, they've been a great Vaishnavas, a great devotees. So for us, it means that these rules and regulations are there to ultimately to purify us, to come to the stage of Krishna consciousness, unalloyed Krishna consciousness. Hands up of those who know the pastimes of the term unalloyed. Where is it actually coming from? Do you know the pastime? How Prabhupada actually started using this term unalloyed? So this is interesting. Prabhupada came to, I think, Boston Harbor, right? And there was this massive metal company, right? Which creates, you know, different types of metal. And there was written unalloyed like a metal company, unalloyed metal company. Unalloyed steel, thank you, Srinivas Prabhu. Unalloyed steel company. And Prabhupada liked it so much. Like, what does this unalloyed mean? It means there's nothing else. There's no other tinge within that metal. It's pure gold. It's pure iron. It's pure silver. Nothing else. Purity. So purity is the essence. But to act on the basis of purity, you need to have, obviously, a good sadhana, a good lifestyle. And we can see that in the life of Maharaj Parikshit. He was properly trained by the great rishis. So, and then when he was ready to kill, when he was ready to punish Kali personified, Kali actually surrendered to him. We can see in this specific verse, he's saying, I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Please give me a place. So there is an act of surrender. But we need to ask ourselves what kind of a surrender it is. Many different Vaishnavas, many different devotees through the Bhagavatam, they surrendered. So there are three types of surrender based on the situation and based on our consciousness. The first type of surrender is surrender based on fear. So you developing whatever kind of a consciousness based on fear, being afraid. So we can see it here. Kali was afraid. Kali was afraid of his life. Sometimes when we enter the life of Krishna consciousness, we heard about karma, right? We heard about that if you do something, if you participate in eating meat, you're going to get a karma. If you're going to participate in damaging your body, you will get karma. If you're going to harm the mother nature, you will get karma. So this is, in fact, it is intelligence, because you understand that there's activity and there's a result of that activity. But the impetus for you to act on that is fear. You're afraid. You're afraid to receive the negative impact of your activity. Let's list as we're going to go what kind of different personalities are surrendered on these different acts. So fear, let's say in base to fear was Kali. Another type of surrender is based on duty. And we can see that in the life of Kshatriyas, right? Bhishma, for instance. Do you remember in the Mahabharata is mentioned this nice pastime that once Bhishma, Duryodhana was requesting Bhishma to to kill the Pandavas. You're hesitating to kill them. You still have affection for them. Therefore, you're not fighting 100%. You know what Bhishma Dev did? He took a vow. He said, either I kill Pandavas today, or I will force Krishna to break his promise of not fighting in this Kurukshetra war. So he was fighting so strongly, so much, that Arjuna was threatened. Arjuna was about to literally die. And then Krishna took the wheel, the chariot wheel, and just started. You can see that famous picture, right? And what was Bhishma doing? He dropped all his weapons and he just put his hands like this. He surrendered. He done his duty, but in that point, in that specific point, when he done his duty, he forced Krishna to break his vow, he surrendered. He said, I'm done. I made my vow, I follow my vow, and this is the fruit, this is the result of my vow. Krishna broke his promise. He's about to kill me. I surrender. So there was some kind of a rasa there. There was a rasa of, chivalry. Chivalry, how do you pronounce it? Chivalry. So he was ready to be taken. He was ready to die by the hands of Krishna. So this is surrender by duty. His duty was to be a kshatriya, and he followed that duty. He gave the promise to Duryodhana, and he surrendered to that duty. Last type of surrender is what we all try to achieve. The surrender based on love. That's the last type of surrender. When you love that person so much, you will do anything and everything. And which are the greatest, most loving personalities which are glorified directly or indirectly? The gopis. The gopis of Vrindavan, they are ready to do anything and everything for Krishna. I don't know exactly the quotation where this happened, but there's a pastime. There is a pastime where Krishna was sick, right? Krishna was sick in Dvaraka. And the only remedy was that Krishna need the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees. Only that will cure his headache. So the servants of Krishna went and they've been asking, you are a great Brahmana, please give me the dust of your lotus feet. Only that can cure the headache of Krishna. We'll sprinkle on the head of Krishna. And all the Brahmanas, no, we can't. We will go to hell if we do this. Who am I, out of the humility, who am I to put dust on the feet of, on the head of Krishna? I will go to hell. I cannot do this. I cannot risk my spiritual life for this. No, love. Duty, understanding, gyan, but not full surrender based on love. Then they went to Vrindavan. And then they said, dear gopis, you are great devotees. You are the great, your surrendered souls who always want to serve Krishna. Krishna is sick. Krishna has got a massive headache. And only the dust of the lotus feet of and he couldn't even finish, and the gopis been already taking dust from their feet, straight away collecting, just getting heaps of dust, just mountains of dust, saying, take it to Krishna, take it straight away, take it as soon as you can. And then he was just, the person was observing, but do you not care? By putting the dust onto the head of Krishna, that's offensive. So we don't care. We can go to hell. We don't mind. Let us go to hell. That's fine. But Krishna's headache will be cured. So that's love. So you can see these three aspects of surrender and different personalities. And I would like to ask you a question, because I don't know. When Gajendra was fighting with the crocodile, right? For thousands of years, he was not surrendering. For thousands of years, he was using his material abilities and material strength. He was wrestling and he was fighting with the crocodile. And only then one point, when all that material faculties, everything, all that material power went away, then he starts surrender. So let me ask you a question. Out of these three, which one is that? Gajendra, the elephant Gajendra. Did he surrender based on fear? Did he surrender based on duty? Or was it love? You're saying fear. Any other explanations? Any other points? Duty. You're saying duty. Can we have a mic? Okay, Bishal Prabhu, you said duty. Explain.
It says in the Prabhupada's purport, we should... Krishna helps those who help themselves first, so we have to try our best. Then after, Krishna will take care of them.
So you're saying that helping yourself is a duty, then Krishna will help. Okay, accept it. Thank you. You said out of fear. Explain yourself. Speak to Mike.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Gajendra was being attacked by a crocodile in a place where it wasn't his nature. Mm-hmm. And not sure about the emotions he felt, for sure, but in such a situation, it was a fearful, he was scared of death. Mm-hmm. Surely.
Okay. Any other points? Both of them very valid. I understand. Prajan Prabhu?
Yeah, it's a nice point when you Rajendra, you know, because actually it was his last chance to glorify the Lord, and that's what he wanted to do. So he actually wasn't crying for himself. He was using his last moment to glorify the Lord with prayers.
Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai.
So he was squeezing in his last bit of devotional service to glorify the Lord. That little moment of just glorifying the Lord took all fear away. Mm.
So which one would you say? Was it fear, was it duty, or was it love?
No. It was his nature. He had a chance to do some service. He didn't want to lose his service. So you could say it wasn't duty. Duty is no feeling. This is bhakti.
So you're saying love. Okay. So we have all three aspects in the life of Gajendra. Fear, duty, and love. Thank you. I appreciate that. Was nice to see the explanations of devotees on all three of them. That's very nice. How about Draupadi? Right? She was disrobed in the house of the Kurus. And she was fighting, actually. What was the person who tried to disrobe her? Dushasan. He was pulling her sari, he was pulling her hair. The five Pandavas, they've been just sitting there. All the elders of the whole dynasty just been looking, observing. What a situation, right? What a helpless situation for the mother. So she was fighting, and then in one point she just put her hands up, So Govinda, Govinda, whatever you desire. So that's also surrender. So let me ask you a question now. What kind of surrender is that? What are your thoughts? May she have a mic, please?
Maybe it looks like it was based on fear, but I feel it was based on love because she had so much faith in Krishna that only Krishna could come and protect her. So she just surrendered. You know what I mean? Like when you love somebody, you just give yourself completely to them. And then they can do whatever they want with you, even if it's the worst thing.
But after she was fighting, she was first using her material abilities, her physical abilities to protect herself. Then she surrendered.
Yeah, with love.
I feel like it was because, yeah, like you said, that she was trying hard. She was trying everything she could do herself, but nothing worked. And then she understood that there's nothing she can do. And so that was like a helpless situation that I can do. I cannot do anything. I need help. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. First Rasaraj, then Revati Nandaprabhu.
Well, when Draupadi was, even before the just disrobing started to get intense, she was fighting, but she was telling everyone that it's not dharmic. She was telling everyone that this is going to be the downfall, everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's your duty to actually stop this from happening. Mm. And so when that didn't, that was the impetus of why she didn't want the disrobing to happen in the first place. So you can use anything to stop a disrobing, and she used surrender also. Mm. So I think it was on duty.
Okay, thank you for that. Revati Nandaprabhu.
There is this verse which says, Vetan pravidamme ridayan nasarpati. So Krishna is saying, she captured me like a serpent. She captures my heart because Yad Govindeta Shukrasha Krishnamam Duravasinam. That means because me, Govinda, I heard that she was screaming Shukrasha Krishna so loudly out that, but the fact is I was so far away. So Krishna was feeling guilty at that moment to be so far away from her at a moment that she needs the most to him. So he felt that he has a big debt, pravidam. So that means even if it's out of fear, the result for Krishna is he sees that out of fear she's calling me with love, so it's okay.
Thank you so much. This is actually one of which I wanted to conclude it on. That doesn't actually really matter if you come to Krishna consciousness or if you seeking the shelter of the Lord out of fear, out of duty, or in the higher stages out of love. Ultimately, the result is that you're seeking protection in the right source. So this is the right thing. If you come to your spiritual master being afraid, that's okay because you're taking shelter. If you're coming to your spiritual master because you give your vows to him, you give your promises to him, that's okay because you're seeking his shelter. Obviously, the best if you go to a spiritual master out of love. So all these three aspects are acts of surrender. Just like there are four types of personalities which seeking the path of spirituality. There's this song from mundane bands which I used to grow up on. It's called Linkin Park. It said, in the end, it doesn't really matter. So it doesn't really matter. So whatever way you come, it doesn't really matter. Because the result is you're seeking shelter in the right source, and that is Krishna or Guru. But the real question is, how long it will take us to actually develop this act of surrender? You can see, Kali was literally, the sword was right on his neck. Then he surrendered. Gajendra fight 1,000 years, then he surrendered. Mother Draupadi, she tried to protect herself, then she surrendered. Dhruva Maharaj, based on his determination and focus and Kshatriya spirit, he used all that character which invoked the mercy of Narada Muni, and he surrendered to the instructions of Narada Muni, still with the vision of I want something else. But due to that process, everything was purified. So see this, fear, duty, or love. Love, if it's unalloyed, or if it's still some mishra there, if it's jnana mishra bhakti or karma mishra bhakti, if it's still tinged with some other motives, through the process of Krishna consciousness, the end is the same. Either you start with fear, or you start with duty, or you start with mishra bhakti, the goal is the same, and that is unalloyed Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada ends up with this wonderful point. He said, when this Kshatriya, Parikshit Maharaj, gave protection to someone like Kali, because he surrendered, what about the glories of the Lord who gives protection to his pure devotee? So, Krishna always reciprocates if you desire shelter. So one thing which we can meditate upon is that power of prayer. Pray more. Seek that shelter more. Sometimes it's simple, you know. Even if you cannot open a jar of honey or something, you always should remember Krishna. Whenever I have some physical things, when I struggle physically with something, I pray to Balaram. He's the source of strength, you know. Balaram, Balaram, please help me, you know. And then goes and it's opened, you know. Seek shelter. Learn yourself to seek shelter. And there's no mundane situation when you can seek shelter. Just meditate and pray more. How many times a day we actually come in front of the deities and just offer our prayers and our meditations? Many times throughout your day, you try to fix things based on your material disposition, based on your mind, based on your jnana, based on your focus, based on your senses. You try to fix it by that. But how many times we actually take shelter? When Prabhupada was having his morning walks, everything he saw was connected to Krishna. So he was taking shelter. He can see Krishna through birds, through trees, through people, through dogs. He can always connect everything to Krishna. This is the vision of a true pure devotee. That he takes shelter in anything and everything seemingly created by Maya or illusion. So the Lord always protects if you seek that protection. Of course, there is that aspect that you try to do your best, but then leave the rest on Krishna. So we can literally learn from the life of Kali personified that is important to take shelter and surrender. Not only when the time comes and when the Kala Chakra, when the wheel of time is just literally next to you, or where the weapon of material nature is next to you, but even before that. The intelligent person actually learns from observing and from reading rather than from having a directly experience. So learn and observe from the life of Kali. He surrendered in that point. We can extrapolate that point. Don't live like Kali, don't be like Kali, but extrapolate that point that at this point he surrendered out of fear, but nevertheless there was an act of surrender to someone who represents Krishna. So I'll finish here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Amala Purana Grantara, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Questions? Srinivas Prabhu Adana, so Sankirtan Prabhu. Turn it on.
Yeah. It says that anyone who surrenders to Krishna with fruity mentality, then that person will fall down and eventually he'll join the Sahaja group.
Oh no.
So
I should be careful.
Someone has to be careful in line. It'll take, like you said, in your class. And what level are we willing to surrender to Krishna? Like, if we follow the line of the acharyas, it's quicker. But if we do it our way, it'll just take a longer time. Mm.
Thank you. Sankirtan Priyapur.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. You took us to Dharma, description of Dharma, and you took us into each levels of surrender by each of these personalities. Just one sort of thought that came to mind, that in each of these examples, the degree of surrender is due to the examples or the situations they have been placed in.
Circumstances.
So, is it that intensity that they were under that led them to surrender? So, should we draw some conclusions or at least some thoughts around how to intensify our bhakti and our sadhana so that we can then also come to that platform of surrender due to that intensity? Because each of those examples had that levels of intensity.
This is Srimad Bhagavatam. These are obviously great personalities, great characters, great scene was created, so then by the example they can teach us. For us, the greatest trial or the greatest time will be in the time of death. Maybe our kind of a lifestyle or our kind of a way of bhakti is not intense as, let's say, for the life of five Pandavas or, you know, Draupadi, Queen Kunti and these personalities, King Parikshit. But for us, the similar and the greatest trial will be at the time and the point of death. And the thing is, you never know. You never know. Just like this. In the blink of an eye, we may leave the body. You never know when that point will come. So we should prepare ourselves for that intensity of that specific moment by living now the path of bhakti. Because you're driving your car, you never know, boom, truck. You're going on Vrindadevi Parikrama and, you know, around the greenhouses and, I don't know, you'll get bitten by a snake or something. I have no idea what may happen. But Krishna may facilitate anything and everything. But what happens is that intensity of death will be there, but we don't know when we die. When will be the time of our death? So we should always, as Prabhupada was saying, try to manage that, to have that intensity in Krishna consciousness, to be ready for leaving the body anytime. That's all I can say.
Hi, Krishna. So how can we practically apply this? So how can we get ourselves in a position where we can surrender more every day?
Constantly remembering Krishna. That's all it is. Chanting Hare Krishna, remembering the pastimes, glorifying Krishna, thinking about Krishna, performing activities which in the end please Krishna. So the path of bhakti is actually Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. It is the philosophy, it is the application, it is the goal. The same thing that you performing now at this present time is the same thing that the great Vaishnava presents, or that does the same thing. So there's no difference. What great devotees do and what neophytes like us are doing is the same thing. The intensity of those emotions and that concentration and that consciousness is the difference. So whatever you do is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing. Whatever you do is what, you know, Vidura was doing. Anything that you do is what, you know, Haridas Thakur was doing. There's no difference in activity. It's just intensity. Revati Nandan Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. It is said that to go to Goloka, we should have the spontaneous devotional mood of service. And my question is, at the time of death, is we remember Krishna, but through a process which is not spontaneous devotional service, will the mercy of our spiritual master will lead us to Goloka Vrindavan?
Is that a question? If the mercy of our spiritual master will lead us to Goloka Vrindavan?
Even if you don't have the qualities to go there, if you remember Krishna.
This is one nice pastime from Prabhupada, right? He was saying, you need to have 100%, you need to be 100% pure devotee. And devotees, everyone head downs like, no. He said, I'm not 100% pure devotee. And then Prabhupada, as he was leaving, 90%. And then devotees like, still too much. Prabhupada, 80%. And then I don't know which percentage Prabhupada ended. I think it was 70. He said, 70%. And then he took his charter and said, no less. And then he just left. So we can try our best to come to that percentage, and the rest is filled by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. And he said, in the time of death, if you can't remember Lord Chaitanya, by your devotional activities, Lord Chaitanya will force himself onto your consciousness. So our path is path of just depending on the mercy of others. I mean, what else we can, you know? We don't have that strength. We don't have those emotions. We are not Raganuga platform, at least I am not, definitely. So all I can is have faith that one day that Guru will deliver that. Otherwise, I have no chance. No chance. No chance. Without Guru Kripa. Okay, one more last question and then Gauranga.
Thank you for the class. Thank you for... you said that if your detachment doesn't correlate with your attachment, you will burn out. I didn't quite understand what that meant.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
There were devotees in Russia which been eating remnants of food which were thrown out by the devotees from the garbage. Like they've been so renunciate, they've been developing so much seemingly renunciation that they've been eating like rotten rice and rotten sabji. So all this is prasadam. So they've been eating it. What happened? All of them get salmonella, and you know they had some very bad physical problems. So the activity as such for a higher level sadhaka is okay, because they have so much faith and so much consciousness that this is still prasadam, it will nourish me spiritually and physically. So what happens if the spiritual platform, if the spiritual consciousness is strong enough, it can override the material activities or the material situation. If spirituality is high, then matter will follow. But if is the other way around, if the material consciousness is higher, then unfortunately it's not possible for you. So if you still have that material consciousness, and even if you try to do things, it will still harm you rather than help you. So, yeah, that activity which you perform needs to correlate with the level of attachment to Krishna. Otherwise, it will be very tough. You know, some, like the six Goswamis, they've been sleeping for like, I don't know, 2 hours a day. If I would do that, I can last maybe for a day or two, and then I would just, boom, collapse. So do everything according to your level of consciousness. Rather, there's aspect of pushing yourself, being better, doing more, but don't burn yourself out. Hare Krishna. Amala Purana Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitya Gaura Premanande.